Why did you let ChatGPT happen?
If the book of Haptik was to be written today, it would be titled A Decade Too Early.
Yeah.
We started in 13,
yeah,
and 22 is when ChatGPT launched.
Yes. Why keep going?
This is probably something I think about the most these days. By the mid of 16, 3 years in,
yeah,
I knew that, boss, this is not
jaldi hai.
This yeah. is too early. This is yeah. not going in a certain direction. You know, I don't know what it was, Avi, but it was one of those things of, no, but I have to see it through. There was no rationale behind it.
So, but was it there, like, shit, just this should have been me?
For a fleeting period. Actually, I won't lie, it was. There was some period for a few weeks, months, that how did I think about choices in life?
Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders. Hello and welcome to another episode of Unstarted. Nobody likes rejections in life, and today my guest is somebody who has rejected me multiple times. I have offered him a fund manager job. I have offered to fund his business. He calls me his so-called mentor, thought partner, comes and takes my advice, then informs me 2-3 months later generally that I've chosen to do exactly the opposite. So welcome.
That Akrit. Wasn't in the intro by design.
This is welcome Akrit Vaish, now a fund manager at Activate, which has both A and V in it and A and I in it. The original AI entrepreneur of the country, and we'll talk about that. And let's go back all the way to the start. You went to Bits Pilani.
No.
Well, that's what ChatGPT told me.
No,
That's what people should understand. I don't think people realize that when people are worried about so many things. That's the briefing I got, that you went to Bits Pilani.
No,
I knew that you had been to UIUC. So let's go all the way back. I know you're a Bombay boy. We are all Mumbai fans. You're a co-founder of the Entrepreneurs, Tech Entrepreneurs Association of Mumbai.
Yeah.
Very excited about the energy you guys brought back. So we'll talk about that as well. Let's start with you. All the way back, what's the family background? How did you get started?
So I grew up in Bombay, in Juhu. And then for undergrad, went to UIUC, Urbana-Champaign. You know, when I went to UIUC, at that point, it was like, okay, look, good engineering college, we'll see what happens. But little did I know that, you know, and I have to plug my college here. You know, UIUC has some of the most illustrious pedigree when it comes to tech companies.
Yeah.
So, Mark Andreessen is an alumni. Siebel is an alumni. Larry Ellison dropped out from UIUC. Max Levkin, one of the founders of PayPal, is UIUC. And actually, the initial first few engineers Max hired from UIUC, a lot of who went on to become PayPal Mafia.
They are. It has an outstanding computer science department. Let's back up. What was the family background growing up here?
Family business.
Okay.
Are
you one of those, I am the most educated member of my family?
I think so. Okay. I think so. Never thought of it that way. But it turns out. Also, we are a small family. I'm an only child. My parents realized after they had one that this is amazing. I'm the only child. My father also comes relatively small family, so we're close knit family. My father has been in steel and textiles for many years, mostly trading. There is this company, Wellspun Corp. He was actually doing trading and wholesaling for them for a long time, and then he runs his own business.
It's a very relatable background. Often people look at those and, you know, there is this, many founders we interview are middle class. My father was in central government, mother is a teacher, very standard. Yours is a different background also that people would relate to, which is normal business Mumbai family.
Yeah, exactly. I would say no, like, crazy story.
Yeah.
Normal business family, grew up in Juhu, went to Jamnabai, content, happy, did a holiday every year, came back. Had lots of friends, you know, in the social scene of Mumbai. And I think a slight difference and where I guess that match comes is, my father and parents were very open to whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
He never really had a thing, okay, listen, come do this business or you're supposed to do that. He said, if you choose to, then great. You know, we'll see what that means. So when I went to the US with that mindset, I sort of went with a very like, okay, look, we'll see what that means. Also, you know, I was graduating in 08 and 7 and 8 was the financial crisis.
Correct.
In the US. So things were quite like crazy. So at a point I was like, okay, listen, maybe I may want to do investment banking because it was cool.
Yeah, secure job. Huh?
But
until it wasn't.
Suddenly, yeah. When all the investment banking jobs vanished,
yeah.
Silicon Valley came calling.
Yeah.
And because of this pedigree that the college had, I got a job at a startup right out of college, off to the Bay Area, moved to San Francisco. Only person amongst my closest friend circle in UIUC. Most people would stay in Chicago
yeah.
or then New York to a great degree. So I ended up moving to the Bay Area and got involved with this startup. And I guess rest is what followed from there.
Interesting. When, you know, we have this debate. When did you start your company?
Haptic?
Yeah.
2013, when I was 27.
So 2013. And until then, you worked at this place?
Until then, I was here. I moved back.
Yeah.
And I continued working for this company while I was here.
Yeah.
So it was a landing pad.
And what did Haptic do?
What did Haptic do? Haptic was an AI chatbot business.
Why did you let ChatGPT happen?
Because
isn't ChatGPT
you rejected me and you did not give me $500 million that was needed to build an AI chatbot company from India.
Yeah.
In all seriousness,
technology wasn't ready, right?
Technology wasn't ready. Also, like, you know, we were talking about this earlier. I think one line, if the book of Haptic was to be written today, it would be titled A Decade Too Early.
Yeah. Yeah.
We started in 13.
Yeah.
And 22 is when ChatGPT launched.
Yes.
So
hold that thought. So we have a question here. We have promised people we'll take questions along this. Knowing your timing, how can founders assess whether they are early, late, or correctly timed for a market opportunity, especially in rapidly evolving sectors? Sounds like it's been written for your story. But how can you know in that moment? How did you... I remember when I spoke to you, even at that time,
yeah.
maybe around 16, 17...
You
may have been the first one. I know machine learning you would have used. You may have used the term AI even then.
I think like 2011, 2012, why did you think you'll make an AI chatbot yeah. company? 2012, summer, there was a London Olympics going on. The startup I was working for, we had expanded the business. And, you know, my CEO that time, thinking that I'm a, you know, hardworking high agency person, shipped me to London for a few weeks, saying, hey, listen, you know, go help the team. You know our culture, set it up. So I was in this summer London there. For whatever reason, Amazon decided to make Alexa the centerpiece of the London Olympics campaign.
Interesting.
So all over the city, you had that Alexa device. And at that time, it was switch on my light, switch off my light.
Yeah.
That's what it did. And
yeah.
today, kids obviously do a lot more with it.
Yeah.
So it was all over. I brought a couple back home. I started playing with it. And you know that... That feeling you get of like love almost. Like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. You can interact with devices. You can talk to a device. It responds back to you. This should be how human and computer should interact. And then, you know, as founders, right, you just go down a rabbit hole. And
yeah.
I went down a full rabbit hole for like a year. And just reading, understanding, studying, looking at what's going on, who came before. DeepMind.
Yeah.
What does DeepMind do? Who is DeepMind?
Yeah.
Why are they based in London? Cambridge. So went completely down the rabbit hole and I felt like, look, and this goes to the question, right? I came away from that period thinking, this will happen. This will happen.
Yeah.
This should happen.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
At some point or the other, somebody is going to be able to get there, right? And as, cracked or crazy ambitious all of us are at that age, I will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thought. The few things I picked wrong in retrospect, when I think about this a lot. First is, and this I can, and I know we can have a longer, much bigger debate on this, is the market.
Yeah.
23, 24, 25, like 26 is a whole different era. But imagine 2012, 2013 trying to do deep tech.
our GDP, economy, the structures weren't
in place. Imagine doing internet company in 2000.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was saying, right? Like, I'm sure there's so many
decades
parallels.
Off.
Yeah. Deep decades off, right? Deep tech, AI, you're going to build neural networks sitting out of India. But it was related to the mission. See, I wanted to, and I thought of Alexa, and I saw Alexa, and I saw Google Assistant. I wanted to build a product like that for India.
Yeah.
So one, I got the market wrong. And the second, Avi, I didn't realize at that point the type of R&D required to potentially get that right. Like, completely missed the boat on that. Because we were interacting with Alexa every day, we felt it's there. And we felt that, look, ultimately, we are not, we will build on top of some of these foundation models at that time, the Alexas, the Googles. But we think it's going to get there. It's only maybe a few months, a few years away. We just didn't anticipate the amount where technology was, and that we got completely wrong, along with, of course, the market.
So, important one, that pointing that I have learned this the hard way with Bazi also, market timing does matter. But the reality is, 1 or 2 years into it, you know your timing is off. Why keep going? I, by the way, as at Bazi, I wouldn't be employable. I would have no option. I had money in the bank, so there was no option but to keep going. Why did you keep going?
What a great question. This is probably something I think about the most these days. And I'll give you the exact month and time where we had that optionality, right? 13, I started. You're right. By maybe not 1 or 2 years, by the mid of 16, 3 years in, I knew that, boss, this is not...
Bahut jaldi hai.
This is too early. This is not going in a certain direction. You know, I don't know what it was, Avi, but it was one of those things of, no, but I have to see it through. There was no rationale behind it. I don't think there was a calculated, you did a pros, cons list of, okay, this is pro. It was just like, no, I have to see it through. I have to see it somewhere. I don't know what that see it through means. But I don't know, maybe it wasn't the fear of failure. It was the fear of, look, we didn't try hard enough. I remember I had told my co-founder during those days, this one line I clearly remember, which was that, main jaan laga dunga. You know, kuch karenge. Like, we'll get it somewhere, right? We'll make sure that something comes out of it. It doesn't feel like it's worth giving up on this mission today. And that something turned out to be that few years later, we pivoted and that acquisition, you know. That
and you sold to Reliance.
Yeah.
But, you know, because people ask me, A, why did you persist? Did you sell too early? Whatever. I think you have to be true to your character. And if I see your character, even after you sold to Reliance, you stuck it out. And I still remember asking you, kab chhodega? And you said, maine kuch commitments ki, I have to see it.
Yeah.
I remember with AI mission, we'll talk about how that happened. But so, I think that's fine. So, one founder though, the question, this is how much of it is ego, how much of it is rationality. You can debate this till the cows come home. Do what you feel is right. Yeah. Because it is also character building. One founder said, "Mereko harna nahi tha."
That losing feeling, failure feeling, whatever. I actually think, you know, once you get, and you've seen this probably journey 500 times, both yourself and through founders. I feel like, I think by this time today, right, at this stage and age, I think you become a lot more comfortable in your skin.
Yes.
Like today, I'm very okay saying this is how I am.
Yeah.
I am extremely obsessed about my mission.
Yeah.
So mission over everything else.
Yeah.
I hate losing.
Yeah.
I want to win. Even if that victory means like it's a second or a third place finish, I will. I don't like coming last.
Yeah.
And I don't like losing at all. Until that happens, I'll give it my all.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. And it's blinkers on.
But you have that clarity because of these journeys.
Yes.
So what I'm telling people is it's okay.
Absolutely.
You know, if you feel it's too, going back to the question, if it is too early, too late, but if you feel you're still, I think it is still the shower test. So with Bazi, I used to still wake up. I remember the first time stamp or coin traded between Lucknow and Mumbai. That one transaction kept me motivated for maybe months. Right? So I think you need some of those wins. I think going back to the question, answering it in a different way though, when you know your timing is right, is also very obvious. This is the classic Mark Andreessen says, when the product market fit is there, people are, you know, literally you're getting customers, more customers than
I was about to say that I think the clearest sign of that is pull versus push.
Yes.
Clearest
yes.
signal.
Yes.
For anybody. I think the clearest signal is that you cannot handle the volume of customers, requests, discussions or anything that you're getting. We never felt that at Haptic.
Yeah.
Never. It was always a push sale until maybe at some point, you know, when that WhatsApp messaging chatbot business took off, there we had a lot of pull. Yeah. That was post-acquisition, to be fair. But otherwise, we didn't. And, you know, separately, maybe today we feel it activate a little bit. But that would be my quick test for a founder. That look, are you getting pull? Are you getting enough people calling you? What's happening today in the global AI world, right, with all these companies scaling?
Yeah.
They just don't have time because there's so many people reaching out.
Yeah. So then you decided to sell, as my guess is a good outcome for employees, for everybody. Yeah. And because you were early in the market, same thing I did. And of course, market turns after some period of time. Then how did you think about the rest of your journey? There are people who are in your shoes also who have, you know, decent success in their first. You decided to go back. You've always been missionary. You decided to go do something with the AI mission. Talk about that. And then how did we get here?
So it's super fascinating sometimes how books and stories and timing is written. No, I sold in 19. By this time, I had obviously become a lot more familiar with OpenAI because the Khosla round had happened. DeepMind was also. So I could see that, look, there's, you know, incredible stuff that's going to happen.
Did you think that the timing was 3 years or 10 years?
So, I did not think. I just kept following because, like you said, no, I had a commitment.
Yeah,
I had to
yeah.
see through my time.
No, not for you leaving. For OpenAI.
For OpenAI, yeah. So, that's why I said, okay, look, I'll keep following it. And that time, I didn't make a prediction of when it would happen. But interestingly, give and take the way my timing also was after the acquisition, mid-22 is I started thinking about what's next. And November 22 is when GPT came out.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, right? Like how sometimes things happen. And that feeling the first time, I mean, we had been using GPT-3 and 2 at Haptic for a couple of years. We were OpenAI, one of the first alpha partners in India, because obviously Reliance was also using it to a great degree. So I knew something is coming. But that first moment when the ChatGPT came and I was just starting to think, you know, maybe that was one of the first times that came to you also, just starting to think, ha, kuch hoga, banega. And when that happened and when that I saw it for the first time and I played around with it the first time, you know, my wife sort of started laughing. My, you know, dad called me, ki, hey, listen, have you seen this thing? Because it was all very similar to what I wanted to do for so many years.
So, but was it that, like, shit, just this should have been me?
For a fleeting period. Actually, I won't lie, it was. There was some period for a few weeks, months that, how did I think about choices in life? And the biggest one, candidly, was, should I have moved back? I'll just be very honest, right? I think that because the ChatGPT product couldn't have been built in India, where India was when I moved back, right? So I thought a lot about that. But, you know, I looked at my wife, looked at my girls. I said, no, this was a good trade, parents and all that, whatever. You know, but definitely there was a period where it was a look like, how should I think about choices in future? You know, all of that.
Oh, really? You went that deep?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was because, you know, look, it was the exact, in a very different way, an idea that I had.
Yes.
But
not an idea you had. You had the business.
Yeah.
You were doing that.
Correct. Right. But ideas and also products, you know, like matter squat in this business.
Well, you know and I know that's not what people think often. They think it is about the idea, but it's not.
Exactly, right? That's why, like, we are talking about this so openly, but, you know, like, often, like, people who are closest to me introduce me, like, my friends especially saying, oh, you know, he tried to build ChatGPT 11 years back. I said, please don't say that. I'll look foolish. You know, I'll look like people will think, arey, kaun hai ye, right? You know, it's, I don't want to be introduced like that, right? That's dumb. I mean, in fact, I feel worse if you tell me that.
Let's talk about AI mission. Let's talk about what you're investing in. There's a question we'll also throw at you, which you should, given your vantage point. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a question. AI is everywhere. How do you know which problem is worth solving with AI as a VC and as a founder? Thank you.
You are both a VC and a founder. So AI is everywhere. What should people be solving? What did you learn about where India is with AI in your missionary AI mission job and now in your VC role? And what is the answer?
Yeah, I mean, look, by the way, you know this, I think of like what we're trying to do as with Activate in the VC role is the private version of India AI mission. Really, that's basically what it is. How do you build a...
Except you have told your investors you'll make money.
Absolutely. Yeah. The private version. Yeah. Like I said, the private version, right? Yeah. It's the private version that creates, like the end goal is create crazy value in a way that, but you achieve the same goals.
Yeah.
So
I think, Avi, the biggest learning for me in these last 2 years has been that it's a highly ignored theme. AI in India, AI for India, feels very ignored, and for a combination of good reasons. The good reasons are the US has blown up so quickly and has become so big, and the scale and the, you know, value creation has got to another level. If you look at that, you cannot compare, or you cannot even, you're not even the same level playing field.
Yeah.
But if you look at it in isolation, to say, look, if we were to go and solve some real problems and create value for India, I've never seen this before, but I saw outside in your office, it says developed nation, right?
Developed nation building.
Developed nation building, exactly. I never, first time,
which,
right?
Is the whole Z47 is 2047. And I know it inspires you also.
Exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. And I saw, and I said, if you're focused on that, and of course, creating value along the way, it's such a great time. And it's such a large opportunity. I mean, just imagine every surface area and every problem that we couldn't solve because of random reasons on the internet age will all get solved now.
Correct.
Right? Like, just simple example. EdTech has had such a rocky road because teachers have been expensive.
Yeah.
And because this ops and headache to manage everything is so hard. It's inevitable, right? With generative AI and AI, this is all going to change. And the
Correct.
Experiences are going to look so much more interesting, so much more beautiful.
Personalized, yeah.
Personalized, such, yeah. So much, yeah. Interesting stuff. I know one of your portfolio companies, Deserve. You know, they went into saying, okay, look, we'll build this wealth management firm for the long tail. And then eventually they put a slightly different direction, and they're obviously crushing it in what they're doing. But now think long tail wealth management with AI.
Yeah.
What a large opportunity for, yeah, India. You're building, you know, you're basically bringing people from who've never really transacted and done anything with any of these mutual funds,
yeah,
and bringing them into organized economy.
Yeah.
And if you just look at it vertical by vertical and sector by sector, it's large, but large in its isolation. If you start comparing it to say, listen, I want a 500 million ARR company in 3 years,
yeah,
or I want, you know, this should be valued at like 10 billion, where is the growth, yeah, capital?
So we will come back to the size of the outcomes, but going back to separating the signal from the noise, and so much has changed even in the last 3-4 months. We put a podcast out there that where we spoke about the fact that December 25, people don't realize, but this auto coding codex is that suddenly every day there's a release because agents are coding, right? So things have moved so to such a fast level. Let's focus on how does one think about where to build?
Yeah.
So you said verticals, sectors, long tail. Let's step back and say, would you build something horizontal? And let's separate enterprise and consumer.
So,
because you have such a vantage point, you can,
yeah,
and I'm sure you have a thesis.
I'll give
so
you.
Please tell the audience.
Laws of businesses are laws of businesses, is some famous man said once. Just because AI is a new technology, the fundamentals of how you go about building a business don't change. What you must have told me the first time I met you, what you have been telling everybody, and what I am telling everybody now, start with a problem that you deeply understand. You have to have some unique insight or perspective about it, more so in the AI world where everything is commoditized.
And ideally with lived experience.
Ideally.
Not just absolutely. Understanding, but lived experience.
Lived experiences. Lived experiences could be you hacked away and got here. It's,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But you have to have, in fact, one of the things we've been telling young founders is, think about it, for this particular problem, do you think you're in the 99th percentile in the world?
Yeah, we call it global maxima.
Yeah.
Not just local,
global.
Yeah.
99th percentile in the world. Are you the 99th percentile? Ask yourself the honest question. And that can come only because you've lived through it, you've been through it, you've,
yeah,
seen it firsthand. So, step one doesn't change, which has not changed for 30, 50, 100
yeah.
years. Start with a problem that you deeply understand. Become obsessed with that problem, right? I can't tell you, like day to day, the differences, even if you look at the global AI companies, you know, I interact with a lot of these global labs. The clear differences you're seeing is the great and the good companies, the difference is how obsessed they get with their problem and how obsessed they get with their customers.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Anthropic is going one way and OpenAI one way is because for coding and for enterprise, that's all Anthropic does.
And they made, and this is what people may not understand, but it's an important one, and their burn is lower. Yeah. And by the way, these are just different strategies.
Yes.
Each one company has chosen to go after AGI, artificial general intelligence, I guess, which requires a whole different, and it's a different customer set, different path. Yeah. Other has said, I'm going to cut the problem with workflows and enterprise, and the, and is actually much more efficient on capital.
And they are, obviously now Anthropic is a different scale, they are 99.9 percentile now in that problem.
Yes.
So when, as the question that this gentleman had, right, ask yourself the question, which is that problem that you can become.
But ye to bahut high bar ho gaya, fir to main dar gaya. So let's take some of the companies here. You know Aman of Grey Labs, right? Does he really need to benchmark to that, or he's 99 percentile in solving that problem for Indian BFSI?
For financial services customers.
Yeah.
Doing financial services customers in India doing voice, he is 99.9th percentile.
Yeah.
He is somebody I would call for all things related to this topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has had the opportunity to live through it.
Yeah.
You know, there is somebody we are talking to right now who's trying to build a foundation model for gene editing in India that we can go back and sell into agriculture companies. He's had 4 years of lived experiences to it, 26 years old, and actually seems like an individual where amongst the set we found for India, for agriculture, probably again 99 percentile. So you don't, you know.
In your domain, what you're picking, you better have lived the problem ideally, otherwise have a very deep understanding and then be 99 percentile.
And you know, there in AI, this is perhaps where I have a different view compared to maybe the, you know,
traditional
VCs. Yeah, I mean, not traditional, I would say the way VC has been done. And in AI, I think one thing that's changed is, I don't care how big this domain is.
Yeah.
As long as you're a master of that domain, even if it is super narrow, that's okay. Because everything will expand.
Ha, so let's talk about, I believe that. And let's, why?
Because net productivity will increase. Yeah. You will end up doing a lot more as a either a consumer or an enterprise than what you've done before.
So also what in other frameworks has been called about labor TAM versus software TAM. If work is being getting done differently, then you, I mean, the TAM could be very, very different.
Let's use the best example that everybody understands today in the world, which is voice AI calling.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take the example of a fintech I met recently. I spent a day with them, who is using voice AI calling to do outbound.
Yeah.
Lead generated, call, convert. Now, today, their reason to not grow further pre-AI was that they have to have 6,000 people who pick up the phone and keep calling, sir, loan le lo, loan le lo, loan lead convert kar lo. If there is no reason to have those so many people, and if they can scale with voice AI, who knows how become their how big their loan business can become?
Yeah.
Because now the calling becomes faster, easier, scalable. You're converting more loans. So if you're converting more loans, you're putting more money back in.
Yeah.
And that increases productivity, increases GDP, right? So as a result, any domain, as long as you're very good and you have this unique insight, will just expand, right?
But there is the contra argument people make, which is AI will take over the jobs. And if and the funny thing is AI itself has no moat, which a lot of people talk about. So some other AI will take that AI's job. And this ends at the bottom. Instead of the GDP increasing, the GDP collapses. Why not? And where does India fit in all this, especially if one thing that has already started to play out is that the coding programming jobs are getting affected because these models are coding much better. So more at first at the macro level and then at the India level.
Very difficult question. I can't hunt.
You are the expert, so you have to.
No. What I meant is I will answer, but it's one that I grapple with the most. And this happened because I got to see some of it at the government, right? Got to see some of that. It's so hard.
And it's front and center for the government in their thinking, to their credit.
To their credit, front and center. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's happening below us right away, right? Look, here's, I think, what happens. And don't know if this is a good scenario or not. Let people judge that. But I think where we are headed is the following. GDP will grow and increase, but at the cost of inequality and disparity.
K-shaped.
Absolute K-shaped. What will happen is that people who have access to these tools, or people figure out how to get access to these tools, or people who have the ability to spend more to get these tools and use more compute and tokens for their own productivity or their customer or their business productivity, just become and grow faster. Versus if I'm in a job that, or I'm in a piece of work that, you know, can, is more reputable and can be automated, I have to
find. But is it access or is it agency? So
yeah, great question. Great question. So it obviously starts with agency, 100%. So when I said access, you know,
let's define what agency is.
Yeah, so agency is the ability to simply hustle and work extremely hard and be obsessed about something.
And take control
and go get it done.
Yeah.
So when I say...
Believing in destiny, khud karo.
No, yeah, so destiny to matlab...
Yeah, I believe in destiny, yeah, but not, where else not would, without...
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? It is absolutely a... inaction is worse than failure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like standard line that I operate with, right? So when I say access, it's whoever can get that access, whichever way, it doesn't matter. You can, you know, break into this office today and figure out and convince Avnish Bajaj to say, give me a job as your AI intern, right? Yeah. I mean, you could do that as well. So absolutely. So what I meant is, and that's the opportunity, and that's what people should do, that, you know, never has been a more important time to have extreme high agency to become AI native as an individual and as a business and not wait.
And you have free apps available, whether it's Claude, you don't need the $20 subscription, whether it's ChatGPT, Claude, that you could essentially learn all of this yourself.
I think the $20 subscription, if somebody makes to Claude Code, is going to be the best investment they've ever made. If somebody is thinking of this question, what happens to my job and how do I become AI native? I would do 10 hours of Claude Code a week.
Yeah.
10 hours, 1 hour a day on weekdays, a little bit more time on weekends, 10 hours of Claude Code. And you are just gradually compounding will happen and become AI native, right? But if you, to your point, that's the agency part, right? And if you don't do that, and if you're sitting and waiting, what's going to happen?
So I think going back to this case, and we discussed this in one of our other podcasts, high agency can lead to AI mastery.
Yes.
And it's not that hard. AI teaches you how to master itself. But low agency, will be a slave.
You've built an agent, I've built apps. When was the last time one of us coded?
Exactly.
Never.
No, forget us. Andre Karpathy, who's the co-founder of OpenAI, saying he hasn't coded in I don't know how many months.
Yeah, so Jonathan Ross of Grok was joking the other day when I met him a few months back, saying that, you know, for 20 years, my life was write PRD, write code, edit code, review code, do QA, ship. Now my life is hit enter.
I think people have to understand that it is a big shift, but your destiny is actually still in your hands. In fact, even more so than before, right? And we were discussing before this podcast, there are no geographic boundaries to being able to access ChatGPT. There are geographic boundaries to be able to go to good colleges and SEC, socioeconomic class boundaries. So in some ways it is a great access and you can take full control of your life.
100%. And the positive optimist side of all of this is that is why, what is it? India is the second largest market for all these guys now.
Yeah.
So I think 16% of OpenAI's inferencing GPU capacity comes from India. 16% of inferencing.
Meaning we are using that much of their...
Wow. 16%, second largest market.
Yeah.
Right?
But by the way, everybody around me, whether it's in the... Everybody's using it.
Yeah, so and same amazing. Goes with, you know, I think Claude also, I think second largest market in some sectors, third largest in some sectors.
Yeah.
So the optimist says that's already happening. I still... And you know, that K-shape, high agency, excellent framework. All I am just trying to call out and may I guess sound and call it a warning bell is do more.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's still not to the degree that we would want it to be. Like, everybody can do a lot more, you know, more than just ask questions about, like, oh, what happened? What this, make me a travel itinerary? All that is okay. But do stuff, build stuff, right?
And for people who are not technical, even for people who are not technical, whatever is a daily workflow for you, build it for yourself.
Somebody has asked.
Shopping karna hai aapko, aap uska bana do. Ye mat poocho ki, what is the, where can I go and shop? But actually say, create a shopping list for me and then maybe a weekly grocery list or whatever. Just start.
Live WhatsApp chat from yesterday.
Yeah.
We are both a part of EO Bombay.
Yeah.
And most of the people who are in Neo Bombay obviously are slightly more traditional businesses.
Yeah.
One of my EO forum buddies texted me saying, listen, that day I did a Claude demo for all of them.
Yeah.
In one of those meetings, he texted me saying, hey, listen, I really want to set up Claude. How do I get started? I responded, ask this exact question to Claude.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, no, I need you. Yeah. Please give me 15 minutes. Please come.
But that's what people don't understand. Whether it was internet, email, computers, mobile, there was a adoption friction. People still, and by the way, there are people who say, mereko TV ka remote use karna nahi aata. Idhar aapko kuch nahi karna, aapko bolna hai.
That's right.
It's the first time in the history of technology that you can talk to it. Maybe you saw it with Alexa and got excited and started then. But it's the first time that this is happening. And that's why agency, just take control of it. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, and you know, like you said, talk to it. Like if, you alluded to this a little bit earlier. The last, this N25 period, October, November, December of 25, I actually feel was as big a jump or even bigger a jump in the AI revolution as was November 22.
Yeah.
I think ChatGPT gave us a bit of a tease. This, what's been happening in these last 3 to 4 months of the N25 and now these new models is incredible. Even simple things, Abhi, like I know you use Whisper, I use a bunch of voice tools. Voice recognition is becoming so easy and so good where you can actually talk to it. It reminds me back to the 2012 moment, right? Where now I'm not arguing with my Alexa that, you know, do this for me. You're actually just having a simple conversation and getting things done.
Super. Like you said, we could keep going on for hours. Let's take another question that we got here, which is an ecosystem for entrepreneurs. Should we build an ecosystem where aspiring entrepreneurs essentially get to interact? You started that in Mumbai, by the way. Thank you. I'm also a big Mumbai lover. So let's talk about team. What did you set up team as? I know you're doing some of this with Activate. I know you guys did some of this with the AI Mission. And specifically for people who are asking this kind of a question, what should they be doing? How should they be getting plugged in?
I think you'll notice that a continuous pattern is I love problems that are very obvious, that can have a large impact, but are ignored. So Bombay and tech felt the same intersection, right? It's so obvious. Like, I mean, why does Mumbai not have more tech companies? It's a perplexing question when you sit down and ask, right? I mean, there could be a long answer, but it's like the first level question is, listen, all the industries were built here. Why not more tech? Ignored. Nobody just thought about it, right? Everybody said, okay, listen, tech talent is in Bangalore or Hyderabad, let us go there.
Many companies started here. Companies like Ola and all, they started here and then they moved. Right?
Yeah. So, and you know, when you keep asking those five whys, you get to the crux of the issue. Is the reason why this happened is large engineering talent, software development talent in India first came to Bangalore because of the IT services movement. When you required 5,000, 10,000 engineers, so density was a lot more there. But product companies don't require 5,000, 10,000 engineers, right? You could build a very good company with 300 engineers. Today, it's even
10 engineers.
And today it's arguably one engineer, right? So that's what felt, you know, sort of confusing. And secondly, look, personally, this was also a personal problem, which is, you know, you're living in Mumbai and you're working in tech, and a bunch of us felt like that. You know, where's the community, right? Who can you sort of spar with and meet with? And to be fair to Bangalore, they do that really well, right? It's a very tight-knit community of folks. So with those things, you know, I think there was one meeting that Harsh of Dream 11 and I sort of set up with a bunch of founders in Mumbai saying that, guys, we need to do something about this. If nothing else, we should start meeting a little bit more. And back to your point of, I guess, high agency, as the enthu cutlet, as we like to call it in Bombay, the enthu cutlet in the room, I went back and I said, look, this seems like it's a very something to go solve for. I was in transition from Haptic that time. So I had some mental mind space. I said, let's do it. So I called Harsh up and I said, dude, I think it's time to put a proper body together and we should do it as a proper association. Would you be up for it? He said, no, absolutely. Even I've been saying this for a long time. And, you know, we both played our parts, right? I mean, Dream 11, even now, but that time had a very good brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, Harsh has also been a very good face for the Bombay tech ecosystem.
So yeah, we put this together as an organization where the job is, or the mission is to advance the tech ecosystem in Mumbai, get the founder community to closer, do these events. We do our annual event every year, Mumbai Tech Week. I'm a huge believer in having ecosystems. That's the only way all of us win.
Yeah,
I'm a huge believer that of this idea of non-zero-sum games.
Yeah.
If everybody wins, I will win.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. So if everybody in Mumbai wins, I'll be successful. If everybody in AI in India wins, hopefully I'll be successful. So I think this power of bringing together people with shared interests and putting an ecosystem is very underrated.
And people who are trying to start up should find such forums and attend. And especially you're saying in places like Bangalore, there are meetups. Here we need to do more meetups. Part of the reason for this podcast is to actually expand the reach.
Yeah, I mean, as Z47, you've been doing it for so many years. You do consistently something, I know, at multiple events. I don't think I would be half the person, AI enthusiast, if I did not learn from other peers.
Yeah.
And that happens in these conversations, that doesn't happen through a scheduled Zoom call.
Yeah. Right?
That happens when you run into somebody and you're having this conversation. And, you know, we ran into each other at some Mumbai Tech event where I first told you, listen, I'm thinking about it. He said, Katakalao, Milo, what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, it's always that. Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, I did some reference checks. But and everybody said, you must meet this guy. You're building Activate differently. Say something quickly about that. And then in closing, any advice for people who are listening to all of this?
The entire firm, besides the two founders and partners, currently is one employee.
And agents.
And about seven agents. We have an advantage that given when we are building Activate, and we are an AI firm, we only invest in AI companies, it's what we live and breathe every day. It's a crazy flywheel, right? So what this does, Avi, is one, we are more efficient as a firm. Two, this is the way we learn. Two, also.
I have become, well, hopefully, I've learned exactly the limitations of AI by trying to do everything myself.
Yeah. And so you are more educated to chat with your founders, right?
Yeah.
You'll be able to give them more pointed conversation and advice and have the right ask the right questions. So that does a lot for us. I think we are also very clear about the types of things we want to do, which is AI in India, and really make that happen. So we're on the lookout for founders who have that same missionary ethos of, you know, this is what we will build and it'll take as long as it takes, but we'll get it right over here. Our entire CRM at Activate is fully built by us. So $0 spent on buying SaaS tools. So today, right now, if I actually picked up something in our conversation, I'm going to go outside, tell Claude, hey, please make this change to the CRM at this field. It'll be done by the time tomorrow morning.
Which field was this? What did you pick up?
It's an AI native firm that invests in AI. And the funniest way I think about this is what's been happening with us for a few months. So since December, every 2 weeks, Pratyush, who's my co-founder, and I will one day on our call be like, there's too much work. We can't do this now anymore. We have to hire and we have to get people. Ho gaya abhi, AI jitna kar sakte the. And, you know, we have the one employee that we have. We'll tell her, hey, listen, here's a JD, founder's office, something. Put it out and go find somebody. In 2 weeks, by the time she gets us the first set of people to talk to.
You would have agentified that.
We have
task.
Automated
that task. Yeah.
And that is why I'm realizing this period that we just followed, it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Every few weeks, you're just becoming, these models are becoming better.
So, people should be doing the same. What's your advice to aspiring entrepreneurs?
Oh my God, it's the only advice. No advice. Do agency, like I said. I say this at the top of my voice, like every day, at least 7 or 8 times. Not only to founders, anybody, right? People, family, you know. One becomes like the nodal point for.
You're the expert.
Tell me what's happening. Come tell me now. Yeah. It's just like, no. First you tell me, have you used it?
Yes.
And have you built something?
Yes.
Show me what you've built. Then I will tell you that. And then questions stop, you know, and then it's the only way to do it.
Superb. So that's the advice to everybody. Adopt it, use it, and then the rest will follow. Mr. Activate, Mr. Akrit, great to have you here. Thank you so much for everything you have done, even in your previous life, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Avi. This was lovely. And lots to activate and get inspired by.
Cheers.
Thank you.
You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.